A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. The Lord is a judge who is no respecter of personages. He shows no respect of personages to the detriment of a poor man. He listens to the plea of the injured party. He does not ignore the orphan's supplication, nor the widow's as she pours out her story. The man who with his whole heart serves God will be accepted. His petitions will carry to the clouds. The humble man's prayer pierces the clouds. Until it arrives, he is inconsolable. Nor will he desist until the Most High takes notice of him, acquits the virtuous, and delivers judgment. And the Lord will not be slow, nor will he be dilatory on their behalf. The word of the Lord.
This poor man called, the Lord heard him. This poor man called, the Lord heard him. I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise always on my lips. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. This poor man called, the Lord heard him. The Lord turns his face against the wicked, to destroy their remembrance from the earth. The just call, and the Lord hears, and rescues them in all their distress. This poor man called, the Lord heard him. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Those whose spirit is crushed, he will save. The Lord ransoms the souls of his servants. Those who hide in him shall not be condemned. This poor man called, the Lord heard him.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul. My life is already being poured away as a libation, and the time has come for me to be gone. I have fought the good fight to the end. I have run the race to the finish. I have kept the faith. All there is to come now is a crown of righteousness reserved for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. The first time I had to present my defence, there was not a single witness to support me. Every one of them deserted me. May they not be held accountable for it. But the Lord stood by me and gave me power, so that through me the whole message might be proclaimed for all the pagans to hear. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from all evil attempts on me and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Gospel acclamation. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for revealing the mysteries of the kingdom to mere children. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke the following parable to some people who prided themselves on being virtuous and despised everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood there and said this prayer to himself, I thank you, God, that I am not grasping, unjust, adulterous, like the rest of mankind, and particularly that I am not like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all I get. The tax collector stood there some distance away, not even daring to raise his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man, I tell you, went home again at rights with God. The other did not. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the man who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, have you answered the question that I posed? Are you a tax collector or a sinner? Sorry, a sinner or a Pharisee. The parable is only found in Luke, not in any other of the Gospels. And it's reminding us that we're all in need of the mercy of God. There are, however, I believe, two common blunders in interpreting this parable. It is because of this parable that the Pharisees get an undeserved and unintentioned bad press. It is often read as if the Pharisee is there because the group is intrinsically hypocritical. Hence, in common parlance, the descriptions of hypocrite and Pharisee are interchangeable. The meaning is therefore obscured, I believe. What is wrong is not that the man is a Pharisee or that he did those good actions, but that all that goodness was set at nothing by a wrong attitude. The same is true of the tax collector. It is his attitude that brings mercy, not that God is indifferent to the practices of the tax collector in the ancient world. To see the effects of this shift in interpretation, it's interesting if you replace the text of Pharisee and tax collector with the word nun and drug pusher. So we're not talking about a tax collector now and a Pharisee, we're talking about a nun and a drug pusher. For real lived discipleship must be animated by humility and sorrow in sin. Luke's audience already knew that they had to pray and fast and provide for the poor. This tale would have reminded them that the performance of the task was not enough. For the Lord also looks at the heart. We live in an image-laden world. We talk about organizations getting a new image, political parties employ spin doctors, products and companies are rebranded, Advertising can change our buying habits, our perception of ourselves, our bodies, our politics, and even our religions. In a world of constant communication, who continually looks at their phone every second of the day, things may appear genuine, attractive, wholesome and good. And for many, that is the key demand. Appearance. That is what they're looking at. It might be good, but it must appear good. It might not be all it's cracked up to be. But as long as it's branded properly and marketed well, then who cares? A newspaper owner once said that when legend replaces fact, then print the legend. Another editor told his people, selling papers was the business, not the news. This is the world of the lie, where reality is in the background and perception is all that matters. We as believers in a creator have the task of challenging the lie. Reality is our business, because it comes from God, and that reality will return to God. And we shall be asked about our stewardship. Getting behind appearance is, however, always difficult, and it always has been. We've constantly got to pull ourselves together, have a look at ourselves, have a reality check. We have to pitch ourselves to make sure that we see beneath the glittering images that strike our senses and which can deceive us. This is the wisdom captured in the proverb, don't judge a book by its cover. Alas, most of us do just that. And often, then, we like to admit that this is proven by fact that giving a book hype works time and time again. The task of not being taken in by illusions that we know is important in our everyday lives. We do not want to be fooled, to be conned, or to be cheated. But it is also the Christian task, for we proclaim Christ to be the truth. Taking issue with the hype and the deception is part of our witness to the truth. And making sure that we don't engage in deception is a basic part of Christian discipleship. The gospel challenges us at several levels. Firstly, there is the world of icons and branded goods. The very model of the devout follower of the law is the Pharisee. The very model of the bad guy is the tax collector. In the world of stereotypes, the images we are to admire and then condemn are first and second. So firstly, we admire, secondly, we condemn. But God acts at the level of truth, not a level of stereotypes. The two should go together. But just as a brand may have appeal and not be the genuine article, so too with religion. But God does not dwell on a level of external and human display. Thirdly, there's contrast between self-deception and self-knowledge. We can so easily con ourselves into believing our own propaganda. We are all in need of greater integrity and of God's mercy. We claim to be the people of the way. We claim to follow the way, the truth, and the life. This is a call to integrity, self-knowledge, humility. These are virtues that come naturally to us as begins the love of God. But these virtues that bring us life with God must come from within our own heart, within our own mind. So now ask the question that I posed at the beginning of Mass. Are you a Pharisee or a tax collector? Only you know. And when you leave here today, carry that thought with you and that perception in everything you say and do and how you reflect that to the people of God outside this church.